when the end came, it came quickly. After days of speculation culminating in a merchant's strike, similar to those which have traditionally toppled governments here, the president and 20 members of his family made a dash for the airport in the early hours of the morning. The 34-year-old Jean-Claude Duvalier, known as Baby Doc, was at the wheel of his favorite BMW car. His beautiful wife, Michelle, calmly smoked a cigarette at his side. On her lap was their tiny daughter. On the back seat, between two elder members of the family, was 3-year-old Nicolas Duvalier, who was to have been the third president for life had the dynasty survived. With them, packed into a fleet of other cars, were piles of expensive luggage. They boarded a U.S. Air Force C-141 jet, which had landed in darkness at 2 a.m. It took off an hour and 40 minutes later, bound for Puerto Rico and Paris. For nearly 6 hours afterwards, communication with the outside world was cut off. Within Haiti itself, the sleeping population knew nothing of Duvalier's fall until the radio played a message from the ex-president at breakfast time. In it, he expressed a clear conscience and said he was leaving to avoid a bloodbath. An announcement followed from the new government, which appealed for calm. The head of the provisional government, which has taken over, General Henri Nanfi, said he had no long-term political ambitions. The people of Port-au-Prince surged towards the palace. The general, his 3 military colleagues, and 2 civilian members of the junta appeared on the steps. The only member of the new government, not associated in any way with the old regime, is Mr. Gerard Gourgues, president of the Haitian Human Rights League. But as the first excitement at Duvalier's collapse gave way to reflection, many of those celebrating in the crowd began to talk of elections to choose a fully civilian democratic government.
Shortly after Alan Tomlinson filed that report, the army imposed a curfew to begin in early afternoon as the celebrations turned violent. We talked with Tomlinson again before the curfew went into effect.
Well, while I've been up here trying to get through, communications were cut off for 6 hours. So after the celebrations began, a number of us decided to come up and try to make contact with the outside world. We were aware that the world knew that Duvalier had gone, but obviously nobody knew what was happening here. Now, thousands of people descended upon the National Palace within minutes of a breakfast time radio announcement this morning from the new government. Just a moment. This is wonderful. A good friend of mine has been in prison, has just been released. They've opened the jail. Philippe!
Yeah.
I'm talking, Philippe. Just sit down. Ah, wonderful sight.
Tell us who that is, please.
That's the last time I was here some time ago. I made some friends here who were helping me to try and find the information that I needed in what is an extremely difficult place to sort out confusion from truth. This man, Philippe Marcelin, wonderful man who helped me an awful lot when I was here last time. When I came back this time, he was nowhere to be seen. He'd been picked up by the police. I don't know whether it was as a result of helping me or whether, I don't know, I'm going to ask him now. Philippe has just been released. Philippe, ils ont ouvert les pénitentiaires. They just opened the jail and released him. Do you want to talk? You're talking to National Public Radio. Philippe, you've been in jail, what, about a couple of weeks?
I've been there about a couple of weeks for nothing. They just find me in the street. They put me in jail for nothing. I don't know what I'm doing. They're just looking in the street to find a man doing something. I don't know what they're doing. They just put me in jail for 2 weeks. I don't know anything. I didn't eat. I didn't sleep for 2 weeks.
How do you feel today? You've just been released from jail.
I feel nice because we have a 6 million person in Haiti, but I think 100% was down to the jail to open the jail to get me out. Nobody don't put me out, but the person, the people in Haiti put me out of the jail.
What's happening down in the town now? I haven't been down there for an hour.
Everybody happy. People driving very fast in the city, and people like doing a marijuana, like a carnival doing in the city right now.
Alan, why was Philippe?
In about an hour and 15 minutes' time, people are going to be told to get off the street. Reporters who've just come back up from there have seen the crowd descend upon the cemetery and virtually tear apart the mausoleum to Papa Doc Duvalier, who died in 1971. People have literally torn his mausoleum apart. Now, let me ask you here. Many of the people I've talked to down in the crowd today are appealing for the United States of America to intervene here. Now, what do people want the United States to do?
All right. So, I don't know. I never been in the United States. I don't know what people are doing in the United States, what they do for us down here. So, I hope so. Those people over there, they have people leave the country for 15 years old, 20 years old. They want to come in back to Haiti. They cannot come in back because the government is like still in Haiti. Now, the government is not there right now. Everybody, it was ours. Those people have to come in back and to change the country and to try to do something better in the country. We wait for those people come to Haiti.
There's tremendous pro-American feeling down here. There's a sense that the United States of America has been instrumental in removing Duvalier. There's a feeling that arrangements were made a week ago that somehow they fell through, that during the course of this week, especially when the merchant class in Port-au-Prince and throughout the country withdrew its support by beginning a commercial strike and closing the shops 2 days ago, that that was the final signal, and that the plan which fell through last week was put into place. The American ambassador, Mr. Clayton McManaway, went to see the president yesterday at 2 p.m. He stayed for about an hour, and it seems that what he was doing was giving him his ticket. Duvalier decided for some reason that we may never understand not to leave a week ago, when it seemed very clear, so clear, that organization had been laid down for him to leave the country. Larry Speaks announced it in Washington, and the State Department later had to deny it. They went back to that plan sometime yesterday, when it was evident that not only had the rural population deserted him, the black population had deserted him, the middle class had deserted him, and the merchant class had deserted him. Really, the army was left in a situation where, well, why should they stick their necks out and keep supporting a man who no longer had any support at all?
What about the allegiance of the Tonton Macoute? They are said to number some 15,000, would have to be the dominant military force in Haiti.
I would say that's a very conservative figure. They outnumber the army by at least 2-1. It's difficult to say what their situation is. The mob, which has taken control of Port-au-Prince, is baying for blood. I don't think they will wear anything but the disarming of the Tonton Macoute and bringing to justice those who've committed abuses.
Talking with us from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Alan Tomlinson.
Nothing has been decided in the Philippines yet, but two facts are emerging. One is that there was extensive fraud and cheating in many localities, and the other is that despite such blatant tactics, the opposition effort of Mrs. Corazon Aquino is nevertheless continuing. Some say it's doing fairly well. Of course, there are two different vote counts underway here. One by the National Citizens Movement for Free Elections, known as NAMFRL, which has consistently shown Mrs. Aquino on top. It's considered to be the most accurate count. The other tabulation, by the Government Elections Commission, shows President Marcos ahead. But those numbers are being questioned. Even the government-controlled television has been carrying local reports such as this.
From 716 out of 979 precincts in Cebu City, for President Marcos, 44,701. For Mrs. Aquino, 122,025. So Mrs. Aquino and her running mate, Salvador Laurel, doing exceptionally well in Cebu City.
President Marcos still predicts his own victory, however, just as he calls today's election free, clean, and honest. But the presidential palace appears to be concerned, not about fraud, but results. Vote counting has become extremely slow, with the government holding up canvassing in many places, some observers say because officials don't know what to do to turn aside this challenge from the opposition. Senator Richard Lugar, head of the official U.S. observer team here, has hardened up his position on the election. Earlier in the day, the senator was suggesting it wasn't all that bad. But by late in the evening, he was questioning the delays and saying he was deeply disturbed by a pattern of incidents and abuses. Lugar also said that one of the worst scenarios in the Philippines has been that if government officials were really worried about the result, they might try to bring things to a halt, which seems to be happening with the delays in the vote count. The difference in Senator Lugar's perceptions may be explained by the fact that he's spending more time now with NAMFRL, the Citizens Watchdog Group, and less time with the Government Election Commission. NAMFRL has become the real hero in this election. Chairman Jose Concepcion has been all over Manila today. During one march with NAMFRL volunteers, he noted that this election has not gone smoothly.
We've had trouble in Antique, we've had trouble in parts of Davao, trouble in Leyte, trouble in almost a number of provinces.
By trouble, Concepcion means actions against poll watchers and the ballot boxes they've been guarding. At NAMFRL headquarters, there is a list of dozens and dozens of such incidents nationwide.
NAMFRL volunteers at the F. de Mesa Elementary School requested for urgent assistance because of the presence of armed men outside the school. At the Barrio Hulo Elementary School, five civilians with M16 rifle entered the school and snatched ballot boxes from the NAMFRL volunteers. Unidentified goons allegedly grabbed ballot boxes at the Bayanan Elementary School in Alabang. At 4:55 p.m.
The hardest hit areas have been those where Mrs. Aquino was strongest. But at Aquino headquarters tonight, spokesman Rene Sagisag said there has not been massive cheating in areas where President Marcos was thought to be strong, apparently because cheating there was thought to be unnecessary. But the result has been that Mrs. Aquino has been scoring heavily in those areas. In what may turn out to be election bravado, Sagisag says the Aquino campaign can still win, despite this fraud which the opposition had expected.
We have always made a distinction between a fair election and a meaningful election. In other words, we had known this was not going to be free, this was not going to be fair, it was not going to be easy. But since we were contending for the presidency, which is supposed to be where the power is, then we have given it our all. So we should be able to bring this off. We will win this meaningful, but definitely a very unfair election.
Clearer results should be available by Saturday or Sunday.
Bill Buesenberg, what if the election just simply doesn't work, if it's so contested? Is there a chance that it would be held again?
I don't think that's likely. We could have two different poll counts here, actually, one from this NAMFRL group and the other from the Government Elections Commission. But if that happens, it's really going to be decided in something called a special presidential canvassing board and ultimately the legislature here. And I think they would make a decision on that. It's not at all clear that they would definitely decide in the president's favor if that were the case. But it remains to be seen. Things could be messy for a while, but I do have a feeling they're going to come out with a definite winner.
Mm-hmm. We have been hearing about all this confusion. Were there any places, 90,000 precincts in the Philippines, any places where voting was just sort of regular and calm as if we would expect anywhere else in the world?
I think that's true. In fact, I saw some of them that were very normal and, had a normal election. And as far as we know, the ballots have been counted in those places. At least the people there expected that they would go through without any trouble. So while there are problems, it's not everywhere.
What has been your impression covering this campaign so far? Do the people feel as if they are indeed taking part in a democratic process, being enthusiastic either to re-elect President Marcos or to install Corazon Aquino?
I think that's true. A lot of people have focused on all the bad things that have gone on, especially in this election day. There's been a lot of harassment and that sort of thing. But there's a whole other good side taking place that I've been very impressed by. Tonight I was up at Makati again, where they were bringing in the ballots to this canvassing board. And what they had was a human chain around these caravan of cars with the ballot boxes going to the canvassing board. This human chain of people was going up two flights of stairs. These are people holding hands on both sides of the stairs all the way up two flights, all the way to the canvassing room. They were protecting the ballots. I mean, I just had this great sense of these people, the great outpouring for democracy that I'm seeing. Another scene over at the NAMFRL headquarters, you have hundreds and hundreds of young people, basically, who work there, being very excited about this, very hopeful. You get a great sense of democratic outpouring. There's just no question about it.
Thanks. NPR's Bill Buesenberg talking with us from Manila.
In the capital city of Tarlac, in Tarlac province, dozens of men are standing around outside City Hall wielding thick bamboo clubs. They came here escorting ballots, prepared to fight anyone who attempted to steal them. Tarlac City has been one of the more peaceful places in this province. Voting here went fairly smoothly today. Outside of the city, it was a different story. In the town of Bamban, the government's election commission disqualified the local chapter of NAMFRL. the citizens group that is monitoring this election. The effect was to deny more than 200 NAMFREL observers access to polling places. Attorney Arnaldo Dizon is a Kino campaign coordinator for the area that includes Bomban. He said his workers were prevented from entering a total of 7 villages known here as barangays. He said they were threatened by members of the Civilian Home Defense Force working for Marcos's KBL party.
They were stopped by CSDF people who were working for the KBL candidates here in Cabas.
And what did they tell your people? Why couldn't they proceed?
They were told not to proceed and on a threat that they will be liquidated.
Dizon said the Aquino campaign would attempt to have all ballots in the 7 areas disqualified. Without observers, he said Marcos's KBL party would be able to do anything it wants with the approximately 8,500 votes in the 7 towns.
Mr. Marcos will win by massive fraud like this, by massive terrorism. These people in the barangays I mentioned are overwhelmingly for Cory and Doyle Orel. That is why they are doing this, in order that they will be able to control the situation there. Otherwise, they won't be doing this thing.
I visited one of the barangays, Attorney Dizon said was off-limits to his workers. Our car was stopped twice and searched by members of the Philippine Constabulary and Civilian Home Defense Forces. At Santa Lucia, I ran into Mayor Rafael Suarez from the nearby town of Capaz. He had just left the polling place, and he insisted there were NAMFREL people and Aquino campaign supporters inside. But I was accompanied by a NAMFREL worker operating with valid government election commission credentials. When he entered the polling station, he found neither NAMFREL nor Aquino workers inside. Nearly all of the KBL people I spoke with said they were aware of no irregularities in the voting process. Later in the day, I stopped by NAMFREL headquarters to get their reports from field workers. They included the following. In Burgos, military personnel wearing masks manned the polling station and told voters to write in Marcos. Also in Burgos, NAMFREL workers were ejected from a polling station at gunpoint. In Anao, a barangay captain took a voter's ballot, erased the names of Cory Aquino and Doyle Orel, and substituted those of Marcos and Tolentino. In Barrio Mapalachao, the names of 500 registered voters did not appear on voting lists, and they were not allowed to vote. NAMFREL says this was one of the most common problems in Tarlac. In Barangay Aguso, Sister Salvacion arrived with 6 other nuns.
Our names cannot be found.
And did you register to vote?
Of course, we registered. There are so many, several sisters, they could not find their names. And what we heard is that there are also, aside from these nuns, there are also some lay people. They're looking, trying to find their names, but their names are not there.
In the evening on Election Day, I visited the Kuanco estate. The Kuancos are Cory Aquino's family. Members of the family were sitting around in their living room by the pool discussing the day's events, including reports of fraud and harassment. They seemed almost unable to believe what they were hearing. They were still hoping that NAMFREL reports would show Cory winning by a landslide. Meanwhile, government-run television and radio reports were coming in. One of them from San Manuel Tarlac showed Marcos ahead 7,000 to 15. While we were talking, a call came in reporting a ballot box snatching in nearby Barrio Capihan. When I arrived there a little later, I saw 2 truckloads of soldiers standing around. An investigator was interviewing residents. Seferina Hinto told me what she saw.
I was just laying beside my husband, and suddenly there was a man with a gun. "Do not talk," said my husband. "Do not talk, they have guns." There was already a, what we call this one, fire.
Other witnesses told me several shots were fired. When the shooting stopped, one of the barrio's 2 ballot boxes was missing. This is Alan Burlow in Tarlac City in the Philippines.
Back in Manila, there were also widespread attempts at election fraud and further harassment of voters. Some of the most flagrant incidents occurred in the Makati area of the city, an Aquino stronghold. At Cuavo Guadalupe Elementary School, NAMFREL poll-watching volunteers battled with the government's KBL party when KBL members tried to remove the official ballot boxes. NPR's Gary Covino reports.
I got to the Nuevo Guadalupe Elementary School in the Makati area of Manila just after 3 p.m. the official poll closing time. Dozens of NAMFRA workers were trying to make their way to the upper floors of the school, to the classrooms where the ballot boxes would be opened and the ballots counted. This is how it went.
Nobody goes out solo.
What's happening right now?
No, apparently it's been taken over by a group of people who've mauled some of the NAMFRA volunteers. And now we've come up and some people want to take a look at the ballot boxes or whatever, and apparently they refuse to allow people to get even near any of the precincts. So what's happening now is a lot of the NAMFRA volunteers are either being harassed or being mauled or being clubbed. That's right.
So who is up there?
Those apparently are KBL sympathizers.
What are you going to try and do?
I know they'd like to rescue some of the volunteers who are here.
Some of them are still up there?
Yeah, some of them are up there. Some of them are stuck inside some of the rooms. They're scared to come out. So actually, it's a group of people here who'd like to come and ask the volunteers. They might as well come out because there's nothing much they can do at this time.
Stairs is being led by a guy with a pink chair. Several people now carrying chairs, sticks. One guy has a shovel. Chairs being thrown around. Can't see who's at the other end of the hall. NAMFRA workers charging down the hall now, picking up grade school chairs as they run, hurling them against gate in the hallway. I'm going to move back a little.
Guys!
Word is the place to go is upstairs. What's happening right now is the NAMFRA people are telling their volunteers who are locked inside these classrooms to come out, that it's safe.
Open it!
Open it!
Open it!
Open it!
What's in there?
This goddamn shit.
What's in there? What's going on?
Goons.
Goons are in
some
there?
Some goons.
Open it! Force it! Force!
Do they have ballot boxes in there? Uh-huh. We're in front of room 301, the classroom of Miss Winto. People are trying to break the door down to get at the ballot boxes, whatever poll watchers and whatever KBL are inside.
Silent. Sino ba yung chairman dito? Boss, may taong nahuli daw dyan.
Yes, sir. Pero I have to ask us the chairman.
Chairman,
door is opened. A huge crush at the doorway. Can't see exactly what's going on inside. Right, get ready, here we go into the door. All right, the search is on for the ballot box. Everyone gathered around a small voting booth. The nun here is guarding the box. She's got her habit on with a NAMFRA t-shirt over it. She said they hid the box in the corner here and they've been guarding it. Members of the Metropolitan Police Force with rifles. It's the chief of police.
Detachment in this area.
Oh, okay. All right, we're going to follow the chief. NAMFRA people slowly coming out of classrooms down this hallway, coming out from behind locked doors. Several of the volunteers now following behind the members of the police force, dodging broken chairs. Police have put their guns away, but some of the NAMFRA people are holding on to their 2x4s. What are you doing right now?
What do you mean? I'm trying to keep the box where it's supposed to be.
Are you a teacher?
No, I'm a housewife who's volunteered for the UNIDO.
KBL.
To be an inspector.
Did you know what you were getting into when you volunteered?
I thought I did, but now that it actually happened, I don't think... but at least I can say I've tried, you know. We've all done our part.
Well, do you feel proud that you managed to save that thing?
Oh, yes. I'm proud of the men who guarded us, because if they got in, I don't think I would have risked my life, you know. When people are armed, you can't fight them.
All right.
What they're doing now is taking a big long table, clearing off the broken boards, pieces of glass, wiping up the spilled ink. They're going to put the box on there, and they'll start the official counting. The ballots in that box, by law, are supposed to be counted in this room before the ballots and the results are then moved to a central area in this part of Manila. The women who guarded the box are now setting up at the table, and this place is starting to look like a polling place in the United States. It's 3:40 p.m., and right now the counting of the ballots is finally going on, slowly and calmly. This is Gary Covino in room 301 of Nuevo Guadalupe Elementary School, Makati, Manila.